right. You have a Bible tonight. We'd ask you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. You might also find 2 Chronicles chapter 28. It sort of adds to the portion of Scripture we'll be preaching from tonight. 2 Kings 17, 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Let me go ahead and give you the title of the message, and then as we're reading, you can sort of get the idea of what we're going to be talking about. Tonight, we're going to talk about roadblocks to ruin. Roadblocks to ruin. And I think we can see some of the roadblocks that God has raised up to try to get His people to turn and go a different way. 2 Kings chapter 17 is a hard chapter. More than a hard chapter, it's a sad chapter. We've watched Israel for 210 years turn their back on God and ignore Him, leave Him out of their life and follow other gods. It's a sad day when people allow other things to rise up in their life to take the place of God. That's exactly what was going on with Israel and with Judah. 2 Kings 17, starting with verse number 1. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. In other words, he wasn't quite as bad as some of the others. But he was still bad. I guess it's a flip-up if you're real bad or just bad. I don't know. Verse 3. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. Now, here we have a heathen coming up, and we have Hoshea, which is the king of Israel, giving him presents, trying to buy favor. And he's giving these presents. Verse 4. And the king of Assyria found a conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers, so king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. And the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. And in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hilla and a Habor by the river Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which He had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. Now, when they left Egypt, what condition were they in? They were in bondage. They were in slavery. They were under the thumb of the Egyptians. That's where they were. Am I right? That's where they were. Verse 8. And walked in the statutes of the heathen whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced cities. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen, whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel, against Judah, by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways. Now here we have the prophets saying, giving a message from God, turn from your evil ways. Keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but they hardened their necks. That's talking about being stubborn. They hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected His statutes and His covenant that He made with their fathers and His testimonies, which He testified against them. And they followed vanity. That means they followed empty things. And became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Boy, it's just pretty plain there. Verse 16. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and serve Baal. Boy, sounds like we're just coming out of Egypt again. Haven't they learned anything? Haven't they learned one thing? Verse 18. Verse 17. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divinations and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, and provoked Him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and He removed them out of His sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers, until He had cast them out of His sight. For He rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord, and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of His sight, as He had said by all His servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. What a sad portion of Scripture. What a sad, sad place. Father, help us with this. I know this is relevant to our lives. I know this is teaching us how to have a better relationship with you. Lord, might we learn from the failure of Judah? Might we learn from the failure of Israel not to walk down the same road? Might we as individuals see the importance of having a relationship with you, having a closeness? Might we insist on having a daily communion with you, a daily time with you? Might we just make that time? Might we make that effort? Might we help our families to make that time, to make that effort? Might we be people of the book? Help us tonight, please. And Lord, if there be one here that doesn't know Christ, I pray tonight they would find Jesus, who can only save their soul. He's the only one that can do that. Bless now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What we have tonight is Ahaz was king of Judah, and Hoshea is king of Israel. Sad, sad verse that we've just read, verses 1 through 23. Sad, sad verses. This is where God got so fed up with dealing with Israel, He had them removed out of His sight. And this is going to be a little different message tonight. And you say, well, you're going to deal with God's anger, His wrath. Well, really tonight, I want to focus in on God's grace, God's mercy, God's patience and His long-suffering. God is patient with us. God has been patient with Israel. And we have seen all kinds of things happen in our world. I'll tell you, my wife and I were talking this week, and she made the comment to me. She says, well, I guess we can go to bed tonight and get up in the morning and see what else has happened. We live in a time where things are happening so fast, bad things, that I've never seen it like this before. It's bad. Things are bad. And it seems like we have liberals that thinks that their thinking is that things are not so bad. And I go, well, we're not even on the same rocket ship. Because, folks, I firmly believe things are bad. And we live in a strange, strange time. And then we hear of national disasters, tsunamis, and we hear of droughts. We hear of hurricanes. And as so many have been touched by these terrible, terrible disasters. There was a comment being made on a talk show. The comment was this. The question was asked by the person who was running the talk show, the host. A comment was made, and he asked this question. He said, is this the work of an angry God? And of course, he had a liberal theologian on there. And of course, the liberal theologians speak for all theologians, it seems like nowadays. And for example, let me give you a good example of that. You want to find out what's going on in church life, you talk to Rick Warren. Not really. Or Joe Osteen. No, not really. You don't talk to those guys because they don't have a clue what's going on in real church life. And so this liberal clergyman was asked this question, is this the work of an angry God? And his comment was, well, of course not. God does not get angry. Well, that doesn't go along with what we just read. And because God did get angry. God did get fed up with His people. There is an extreme. And the other side of that extreme is this. Well, those heathen deserve it. No, they don't. They don't deserve it. But let's talk tonight about the things that God has used. Do you realize to get nations' attention, He'll use pestilence, He'll use war, He'll use famine. That's what He's used before to get people's attention. And you say, Brother Ron, are you saying you don't believe in a God that's a God of love? And oh, yes, I believe our God is a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of patience, a God that's long-suffering. Oh, I believe that. He's put up with me a long time. He's put up with you a long time and your junk. And my junk. We've got to understand, and let me say this, God does have reason to be angry. I think He's got reason to be angry with America. I really do. We've let God down as a nation. We have. The abortionists, the homosexuals that are running our country. I mean, we've let God down. And I hope we realize that the human race is not going to make it out of this. Do you realize the tribulation period's coming? Do you realize destruction is down the road? And it will happen. And some people think God never gets upset with anything. But He does. He did right here in our text. Some people think that God is a little old man sitting up there, sort of a pop kind of guy, that tolerates everything you dish out. That's not the God of the Bible. If you want to know something about the God of the Bible, you go to the Bible. You don't talk to some liberal theologian. And understand that God is righteous, He's pure, He's holy, He's good, He hates sin. We've got to understand that. And I want to say that God will never be what the God-rejecting society wants Him to be. He will not. He will never, never be that. And as we look at this, He is very merciful. He's very patient. He's long-suffering. You can see this in history. You can see it as He has dealt with mankind. You can see it as He's dealt with Israel. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But do you realize there's coming a day? There's coming a day when it will all stop. Judgment will hit. I know this is not popular preaching today, but judgment's coming. Aaron said this morning, there is a place called hell. And people will go there, not by God sending them there, but by their rejecting Him. It's their choice. And understand this. God is very merciful. God is very patient. He's very, very, very long-suffering. And you may say, well, what what has this got to do with me? Well, it teaches us in our lives how God works. And it teaches us that God is still the same God. He hasn't changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He's still the same God. In our text in 2 Kings 17, what we have in our text is one race of people. They're divided into two nations. They've been divided into two nations for 210 years. That's a long time. 2 Kings 17, verses 1 and 2, we see the northern kingdom is ruled by a bad king. What else is new? He's been bad, but just not as bad as ones before him. He's not a good guy. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. We see in verses 3 and 4, he tries to buy the heathen favor. And they get upset with him for some of his conniving. And they send him to prison. And they take Israel away. And Israel loses its identity. It's gone. We see it. What was their wickedness? Well, they feared other gods. Well, wait a minute. There's only one God, Brother Mayo. But they feared other gods. That was fashionable. That's what society was following. Look out when you start wanting to follow society. Look out when you want to start doing what's fashionable. Look out. That's where they were headed. And they even put it on their children. And their children walked through the fire, through divination, and did evil things. And they gave their affection and their fear to that which was not a god, which was an idol that society wanted. And verse number 12, look at it. The Bible says, "For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing." And they did it for 210 years. We're talking about Israel. My land. Have we not learned anything? I mean, that seems like we're talking about the book of Exodus. Have they not learned a thing? God gave them 210 years to get it right. And you know what God said? Finally, I've had enough. I'm going to let you have what you want. I'm going to let you have it. And look at verse 18. You say, well, God just doesn't have the ability to get angry. Wherefore, the Lord was very angry. Sound like to me he got angry. He was very angry with who? With Israel. And he removed them out of his sight. He was very angry and he says, all right, get out of my sight. And if you say God doesn't get angry, I'll be honest with you, you're a deceiver. Because God does get angry. Right here proves he gets angry. And we can see that he was upset with his people. He's not an old grandpa sitting up in heaven tolerating everything you want to dish out to him. He's not. He's God. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. Keep him where he belongs. God said, verse 18, get out of my sight. I remember one time I was disciplining my son, Chuck. And I forgot what he did, but it was pretty bad. How many of you have ever raised a child through the teen years? Let's see your hands. Have you ever been so mad at your child that you said, get out of my sight? And the reason you did it, because it's you're so mad you don't want to deal with it right now. Which is probably the right thing to do. Now, I'm not going to ask you to show your hands how many have done that. But I guarantee you most of you have. And because I know I've done it. And very upset with myself. I think what he did, I think I remember this. I think he gave Angie a burr. Shaved all her hair off. I think that's what he did. That just sort of comes out. And that's bad. Huh? That's bad. And maybe that's what happened to me. I don't know about that. But I think he gave my daughter a burr. And I remember looking at him and saying, son, I don't want to deal with you right now. Just go somewhere else. Get out of my sight. Because I was so mad at him. And God had enough with Israel. He was so upset with them. He said, get out of here. Get out of my sight. And look at verse 23. What's it say? Until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all of his servants, the prophets, so was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. What was the judgment? Carried away. Taken out of their own land. And you say, all right, that happened to the northern kingdom. That happened to Israel. Well, look at the southern kingdom. Look at verse 1. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And it looks like he was following suit. Huh? Here he's ruling the southern kingdom. Look at verse 19. Also, Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel. Oh, the influence of Israel was rubbing off. What are they doing? What's Judah doing? They're following what Israel did. Folks, influence can affect you a great deal. We better realize it. Right here, the nation of Judah is following Israel's steps. And they haven't got sense enough to wake up. And notice what God brought into their life. Go back to our other text verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. And look with me. Three verses we want to read. 2 Chronicles 28, which is an allude to the story over in 2 Kings 17. Notice what it says in verse 19. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. The influence is rubbing off. Huh? Because of the influence of Israel, Judah's going down the tube. Hey, you say, well, my children can affect those other kids that are really not doing so good, that are really bad. My children can affect them for good. Oh, look out. You might lose your own kids. I've seen it happen in Christian schools. When Christian schools start accepting all the rejects of public schools, and they bring in the Christian schools, all the rejects, all of a sudden you got all the reformatory kids in the Christian school. And that's going to affect the Christian kids that are there. You've got to be real careful. You've got to know what you're doing when you get into that. And boy, that influence will affect them. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. Verse 22, in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that king Ahaz. I mean, there was distress brought into his life. Why would God allow distress in his life? Maybe to turn him around. Maybe to get his attention. Maybe to say, hey, wake up! Verse 23, for he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and all of Israel. He thought, well, society's accepting these gods. Surely they're good. Let's bring them all in. And it was the ruination of Israel. What the Bible says. That's not something I said. The Bible said that. And understand this. You know, we've got to be real careful here. Because verse number 23, you know, these other gods, they ended up bringing him down and ruining him. And here we have two nations, both are on their way to ruin. And I ask myself, why would Judah follow down the same road as Israel? Somebody should have learned this lesson. Somebody should have woke up. Do you realize Judah lasted 146 years past the time of Israel? Judah had a chance. Israel was gone. Israel's by itself. I mean, Judah's by itself. It doesn't have that influence anymore. Israel's gone. And they still kept following that sin. They still kept following the place that Israel was. It took 356 years total. And God, both of them were gone. Both of them were out of His sight. Well, why did this happen? Well, it happened because of their choices. It happened because of their influences. And my question to you is tonight, are we making questionable choices? Are you making questionable choices in your life? Well, what do you mean? Well, you're messing with stuff you shouldn't mess with. Hey, fellas, look at me for a second. Watch your computers. Watch your computers. Fellas, watch your computers. I pastored in Las Vegas, Nevada for 7 years. You know what my number one problem was with the men in the church? It wasn't alcohol. It wasn't gambling. You know what my number one problem with the men in the church was? Porn on their computers. You gotta see what's going across that computer. Might I'll check into it. You say, oh, well, my children have their own computers. Oh, really? Hope you got some passwords on it. I hope you've got some locks on it. You might ought to wake up. You say, oh, my child wouldn't do anything bad. Oh, yeah, that's like the mother and dad that brought me a telephone bill that was over $3,000 that their son started dialing 900 numbers. That's where you talk to women. Over $3,000 in 1 month. You say, oh, well, it can't happen to my family. Oh, a little kid goes out and says, hey, all my friends, they got these piercings. She comes home, got a piercing in her gum. Got a piercing in it. Sticks her tongue out and got one in her tongue. Where'd that influence come from? Around the wrong people. Huh? Around the wrong people. And that influence starts rubbing off. I'll be honest with you. You, the parents that let your kids have these little fake tattoos, I don't think that's smart. Won't be long till they'll be getting tattoos. You go, oh, you're meddling now. Oh, okay, let's meddle. Your TVs, there's not much on there to watch anymore. And you go, well, we sit down and watch these family programs. Name me one good one. I don't know of one good one. I've told my wife, I said, honey, you watch too much Fox News. Take a break. It's depressing you. Huh? That's right. Because we have our TV mostly on Fox News or the Weather Channel. You know? That's about it. That's about all we can watch. Isn't it sad? Huh? It is. Hey, folks, watch out when you start making questionable choices. When you start letting bad influences creep into your life, oh, look out. God's given us roadblocks to stop us. You know what He did to Israel? For 210 years. Look at verse 13. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets. God sent His prophets. He sent His preachers to proclaim, you're going wrong. You're headed down the wrong road. Stop. Turn around. All they had to do, verse 13 tells us, is obey and follow His commandments. He's told them that for 210 years. You know how long that is? That's 2,520 months. You know how many days that is? That's 76,650 days. That's through 5 to 7 generations. God said, stop! Sound like to me He's patient. Sound like to me He's merciful. Sound like to me He's long-suffering. How long has God been waving the red flags in front of you? All He wants you to do is obey His word and follow Him. That's all He wants you to do. That's all He's asking. And we keep letting other things raise up in our lives. Understand this. God sent prophets. All they had to do is follow His commandments. And Judah, let's take them as an example. Judah just kept going forward as Israel went forward. The influence of Israel could not be denied. You know how I know? This is how I know. Israel ended up in the same place, being wiped out, destroyed. I'm sorry, Judah ended up in the same place as Israel. They ended up in the same place because they followed Israel. Choices, influences, the decisions we make will make a life. How are you doing in those areas? You making good choices? making good decisions? How's the influences in your life? I saw a little kid one day. He was standing in the foyer of our church in Vegas. His dad had stopped by the candy store, and he had walked over and found him some candy, and his dad bought it for him. Didn't know what he bought, but he bought him some candy. He was standing there in the foyer of our church, and he was sucking on a piece of candy that looked like a cigarette. And I said to myself, I wonder where he got that idea. Because I'm pretty sure Mom and Dad still smoked. They walked in the foyer and they saw that, they about died. Hey, look out. Your kids might just speak the truth. Huh? Amen. I remember asking a kid one time, coming to church, I said, well, how was your trip to church? He goes, man, it was something. Mom and Dad just fought the whole time. Huh? They got to church and they weren't fighting anymore. What's influencing us? Who are we influencing? How are we influencing them? You know, it'd probably do us all real good to have a good do-better sermon. I remember what a do-better sermon is. You know what a do-better sermon is? We can all do a little better. Honoring our Lord. He's supposed to mean everything to me. Surely I can do better. Surely. Surely I can do better. Father, bless what has been said tonight. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God. And these things mean so much to us because we know they're from you. We're sorry Israel ended up this way. We're sorry Judah ended up this way. There's one thing I know. I don't want to end up on the wrong side of you. I always want to keep you in your rightful place in my life. Might my desire be to honor you with everything I do. Help us, Father, to draw closer to you. Use this message in our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed, eyes closed. As the instrument plays, if God's spoken to your heart, you come. He either has or hasn't. You come if he has.